You started from the front and was working your way back. Okay, Psalm 19. This week we're talking again kind of about resetting, all right? And resetting into our year, not just allowing 2025 just to roll us over, but intentionally leaning into the Lord into a new year. My family's reset word this year is awe, A-W-E. And Psalm 19 is the focus passage that we have for that. And so this morning, I just wanted to share that passage with you and to call us together to awe. Let me pray, and then we're going to dive into this. Father, oh, thank you so much that we as the church have been brought together, Lord, from all different backgrounds and places and cultures and situations. We've been united in you, Lord, because of your shed blood and your finished work on the cross. Lord, one of the reasons we gather every week is to hear from you. So would you speak to us this morning from your word? Open our eyes so that we might see wondrous things of you. In your precious name, amen, amen. Awe, A-W-E. Awe is a complicated word to define. And the reason it's complicated to define is because it's really a feeling, right? It's this mixture of reverence and respect and fear and amazement and wonder that in the Christian life results in worship. My definition, crude definition, of awe is this. Awe is our response to the awesomeness of God. Awe is our response as believers to the awesomeness of God. I really believe that everything in the Christian life ought to flow from and to awe of God. Recognizing and responding to God's awe and his awesomeness. It cultivates things in us. It cultivates humility and dependence on him and delight in him and obedience to him. And then it flows to worship and results in even more awe. So first, I want us to see awe of God in creation. Look down at Psalm 19. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. God's word says this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day after day they pour out speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them, God has set a tent or a home for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Everything God has made, reveals, it testifies to his glory, right? And do you remember the definition of glory? Glory is simply God's holiness, or we could say today, his awesomeness on display. Verse three there indicates that there's no actual verbalized words. But the message of creation, according to verse 4, is loud and clear. God's creation speaks a universal language across every language and every culture and every context and every generation and every geographic location. So that means from the peaks of Nepal, thousands of feet above sea level, to the beaches of Mexico, where I wish I was right now, to the metropolises of New York City and LA, which, by the way, pray for California right now, to the tundra of Siberia, to the outback of Australia, to the coffee farms of Guatemala, to the plains of the Serengeti, to the deserts of Iraq, to the banks of the Amazon, and to the ends of the earth, creation shouts its testimony to the awesomeness of our Creator God. A wordless and yet an endless communication of His glory. Where have you been in your life that has most ignited your awe of God in creation? I asked my kids this question this week, and they all said the same thing. I'm going to put a picture up here. It's a place called Benon, and it's in Scotland. And 2 years ago, we hiked this with some friends of ours who are actually here now, which is pretty awesome. And it's just this, we hike to the top, you know, and it's Scotland, so they hike really fast. So you're tired by the time that you get up there. And we get up and we sit down on the edge, which is where I'm at right there, dangling my feet off. And you look around and you see the lochs, you see the valleys, you see the mountains. And for a second, you just go, God is awesome, right? Where have you been that's caused your heart to sing His praises? And by the way, it doesn't have to be Scotland. It can be your backyard. It can be at the park. It can be as you walk outside and look up at the stars. Wherever that is, partake in that often. David here in verses 4-6, he talks about the sun as an example. And as I read this, I went down a rabbit hole this week of researching the characteristics of the sun, which if you've never done that, just do that. Just read the Wikipedia page. It's incredible. But as I was reading that, almost everything that I researched about the sun, it ended up saying the same thing at the end of it. It says, because of the sun's greatness, many across many cultures and many generations have worshiped the sun, which completely misses the point, doesn't it? The wonder of creation is not meant to lead us simply to the wonder of creation. The wonder of creation is meant to rather lead us to a wonder of our Creator God and be in awe of Him. So I'm asking this year, my family is asking this, I'm asking you to ask this, how this year can I cultivate more in my life an awe of God in His created work? One way that you can do that is just to try to get out in creation as much as you possibly can, whenever it's possible in Indiana. Get out and do it. Many of us are doing a great job at being in God's word, right? We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. I love that about our faith family, okay? But sometimes you might need to set your Bible down and go for a walk and just be in awe of the Lord. Or stop for a minute and look out the window, and I know this is going to be blasphemous to some of you, and praise God for the beauty of the snow. Oh, I know some of you are mad at me, but it is beautiful. Right? Like, just say, this year, best that I can, I'm going to look for opportunities to get out in creation and wonder at our God, right? Another thing that you can do is honestly just slow down and pay more attention. Just slow down, look around, and watch. And I'm betting that there is so much in your life day by day that should cause you to praise our God because of His creative work, and you're just not noticing as your head is down and you're moving through life. So just pause and pay attention. However it works best for you, cultivate awe of God this year in His creation. of God in his creative work, it's not something that we graduate from as we mature in our faith. In fact, as God matures us more, we ought to be more aware of his beauty and his creative work around us. The other thing too, it's a great conversation starter with unbelievers. Because if you are walking through life just constantly praising the Lord because of his awesomeness and his creative work, that's just going to come out of you. I was a couple months ago at Starbucks, and I put my order in, and then I'm talking with the barista there, and I just asked her, I said, "Hey, how's your day going?" And she goes, "Actually, it's starting well because the sun came out today." You know, and I just blurted out, I'm like, "I know. Praise the Lord." And then I'm like, oh, stink, that was probably weird because she had her head kind of cocked looking at me. But then I'm thinking in my head, no, that's not weird. Like, I want that to come off my lips. I want to be praising the Lord. I want to be in awe of him and his creation. I want this. And that all happened in like a second. And then I blurted out again, "Yeah, praise the Lord." And then I was like, oh, stink, now I made it weird. But if you're walking through life just constantly in awe of him, just like even a child's example of looking around and going, "Wow, isn't he amazing?" Right? That will come out as you walk through this life, and it'll be an example to others, okay? So awe of God in his creation. Next, awe of God in Scripture. Awe of God in Scripture. Look down at verses 7 through 11. We're going to see in these verses six truths about God's word and the results of those. So hear these as they're read. The law of the Lord, or that could be the instruction of the Lord, is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure or trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Creation isn't sufficient to tell us everything that we need to know about God. And so God speaks to us. Just think about that for a second. The God that you are in awe of in his created work, he speaks to us specifically through Scripture. Scripture reveals God's glory to us as it teaches us about him and his person and his work and his will and his glorious redemptive plan. But Scripture, like creation, is not an end in and of itself. All right? It's not this book that we worship. Okay? Scripture brings us to the God who breathed it out so that we might know him and be in relationship with him and be in awe of him. So through Scripture, we listen to him and we learn from him, and by his Spirit, through his words, he changes us and he sustains us and he grows us in our faith. Look again at what Scripture does in these verses. It revives the soul, refreshes, strengthens the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It brings us joy. It enlightens the eyes. Another way you could say that is it provides insight for and understanding of our lives, right? It endures forever. It's desirable and more valuable than gold. It's delightful. We are warned by it. And when we walk in obedience to it, there is great reward. You might be here today and you go, Nate, I need my soul revived. I need some wisdom. I need joy. I need warning in my life. I need understanding. Well, to experience those things from God by His Spirit, we experience them through His Word. But in order to do that, you actually have to be in His Word, right? And my call to us is don't just be in it, devour it. Devote yourself to it, meditate on it, memorize it, and pray through it every chance that you can get. You see, some of us are really good about being in God's Word, and we need every once in a while set that down and walk outside in light of all that truth and look at the awesome creative work of our God, right? And some of us are really good at just walking through life going, God is awesome. And sometimes we need to go inside, or we could do it outside, not this time of year, and open up God's Word and say, Lord, speak to your servant so that my soul might be revived, so that I might have understanding and wisdom, so that I might love you deeply and live in obedience to you. So I would encourage you, not only this year, commit to looking for and finding and seeing awe of God in His creative work. I would encourage you to do the same thing in Scripture, right? This is the beginning of the year, so it's kind of one of those good times to think about it as you, like Pastor Nick said, start a new reading plan or that kind of thing. Look at your life and consider, what could I do, what was good for me, and how can I make God's Word a regular pattern, a rhythm, a habit in my life where I'm saturated in it. Last year, I shared with you, Amy and I did a chronological reading plan through Scripture together, right? We just read the Bible chronologically as it happened. We're not doing that again this year. I would commend that to you. Do it at least once, all right? But I found out I cannot wait to October to get to the New Testament. I need some New Testament sprinkled in throughout the year. So this year, we've decided to do to read through the New Testament together. And get this, I didn't even realize this as I looked at it this year. You read one chapter a day of the New Testament, 5 days a week, giving you 2 days off. Right? And it takes 5 minutes a day, and you'll read through the New Testament in a year. Now, I hope that you are meditating on God's Word more than just 5 minutes a day, right? But I share that to show us we can do that, right? It is possible. And I would say this to you this morning, it's not just possible, it's necessary for the Christian life. It's necessary for your soul, for your perseverance, for your sanctification in this life. Commit to being in God's Word as a regular rhythm of your life. I tell you what, I will commit every single week here to open up God's Word and point you to a passionate pursuit of the radiant God from God's Word. Would you commit to doing that in your personal life? And would we see God's awesomeness through it? Huh. All right, real quick, look down at verses 12 through 14. David, the psalmist here, he finishes off this psalm now by telling us basically how to respond, right? How do we respond to awe? Awe of God in His creative work, and specifically awe of God in Scripture, all right? And the first way that we're meant to respond is in confession. In confession, look at verse 12. Who can discern his errors? The NLT translates this, how can I know the sins that are lurking in my heart? Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent. Cleanse me from hidden faults. When we see God's awesomeness, particularly in Scripture, it ought to lead us to confession. Over the holidays, I was in the garage and I was putting up Christmas decorations entirely too soon, if you ask me. But it wasn't my choice. we were putting up Christmas decorations, and I was on a ladder, and I was putting some on the shelf, and my foot slipped off of the rung, and I fell onto the concrete on my back, and which terrifies me because I've broken my back before in a similar fashion. And so I hit it, and Amy was on the other side of the garage, and she heard it happen. She didn't see it happen. She turns around, sees me lying on the ground. She runs over to help me up, and I'm just like, you know, just give me a minute. Right? I'm feeling a lot more brittle than I used to. I'm not quite sure. I'd landed like on my hip and on my shoulder and I could feel it. And I'm like, I'm not sure exactly what's not in the right place after falling, but I'm just going to lay here for a minute and we're just going to hope it goes away. And then I'll get up. And as I laid there, just for those couple minutes, I looked up and I was like, huh, I wonder what's in that box. And then I looked over and I'm like, whoa. That had to be a giant spider that made that web up in the corner. And I'm like, there's a piece of the shelf missing. And next thing I know, there's all this stuff because I was lying on the ground in a position that I wasn't used to being in, right? And man, sometimes we need to be humbled. Sometimes we need to be laid low so that we can see rightly. So that we can have a different perspective. And if we are going through this life mostly in awe of ourselves, right? The hero of our own story, it's gonna be really hard for us to see our sin and to see our errors, right? Because we're just killing it. As we pursue God in his word, we will begin to see him rightly. And when we see him rightly, we will see ourselves rightly. And awe of him through his word, the way that he chooses to work often is by then revealing our sin to us, revealing our hidden sins, the idols of our heart. And they start bubbling up as we pure in worship on him, our pride and our lust and our bitterness and selfishness and anger and worship of everything that isn't him is revealed to us. And when he does that, specifically in his word, how are we meant to respond? We're meant to respond by confessing that sin to him. He says, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent, Lord, from hidden faults. In other words, forgive me. Forgive me. Confession. Second response that should come from being in the presence of the awe of God is petition. Petition. Look down at verses 13 and 14 there. As the psalmist keeps going, he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, or it could be deliberate sins, because the others had to be revealed, but there are deliberate. And he's like, protect me from the deliberate sins. Let them not have dominion or rule or control over me. Then look, then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I love that. So in the presence of the awesomeness of God in creation and in scripture, he says what happens is God reveals my error. He shows me my sins, and the right response to that is confession and petition. Lord, keep me from sin. Don't let sin have dominion over me. Forgive me of my sins. And then he says, and then I shall be blameless. In other words, we can ask forgiveness from our God, and then we will receive forgiveness from him. And then this beautiful verse, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Lord, may our thoughts and our motives be pleasing to you as we walk in obedience to you and in awe of you. I commit, and my family is committing this year to passionately pursuing the radiant God by regularly watching for and searching for his glory revealed, both in his creation and in his word. So our lives would be filled with awe of him. Would you consider committing to the same pursuit? Last thing for us here before we worship and take communion together is this. We are meant to have an awe of God in Christ. In Christ. Look at this. Look at verse 14 again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Look at that. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Redeemer. Redeemer, this word is, it's someone who purchases another's freedom. That has ultimately been fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ, who purchased our freedom from sin through his finished work on the cross so that we might receive salvation by grace through faith in him. John 1:14 says this, the word, look at that, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God. He is the revealer of the glory of God. And all the things in this passage that talk about the wonder of God's word are ultimately true of Jesus Christ, the word. He is perfect. He is trustworthy. He is just. He is righteous. He is pure. He is delightful. And we are meant to spend our lives living in awe of him. And one of the ways that we remember and celebrate Christ's awesomeness is by observing communion together. So as the worship team comes this morning, a reminder a little about communion. Communion's for the church. Communion is for those of us to participate in who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And you might be here and you might be like, Nate, I don't think I'm a Christian. In fact, I don't even know why I'm here today. Someone brought me along, right? And I'm here and I'm not a Christian, and actually I'm kind of a mess and hopeless and a little lost, and I don't even know what I need in this life. We know what you need. You're like, whoo, that's a little arrogant, isn't it? Uh-uh. You know why? Because we need the exact same thing as you, and it's Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that there is hope found in him. And today, he, by you being here, he is inviting you under the sound of his word being preached. He's inviting you to place your trust in him and to know his love for you and to walk in a relationship with him and to receive new life now and new life eternally. You're like, Nate, how do I receive that new life? Romans 10 in God's word tells us exactly how. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, he tells us. And so today, right where you're at, right here between you and the Lord, you can repent of your sins. You can tell him you believe and you can ask him to save you, and he will do that right now. And he will give you a new life. He will give you eternal life. And then you can join us in communion as we celebrate him. Believers, the reason that we take communion together is to remember and reflect on Christ's finished work on the cross. Remember and reflect on the beauty of our salvation because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. And then to reorient our lives in light of that good news. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna worship, and then we're gonna take communion together. Would you pray with me? Father, oh, thank you that you are not hidden. Thank you for revealing yourself and your glory to us through your created work, and that we can stand in awe of you. Lord, thank you for not only revealing yourself through your creative work, but for revealing yourself through your word. Thank you that you have spoken and we can hear you and respond to you. Thank you for ultimately revealing yourself in Jesus Christ, who left heaven, took on humanity, lived the perfect life we're incapable of, died in our place, paying our penalty, and rose from the dead in victory. Lord, now here this morning as we worship you and observe communion, we respond to you by confessing our sins as you have bubbled them up even in our midst this morning. And we ask your forgiveness and we receive your forgiveness and we ask for you to continue to work in our lives and to make us into your image and to use us to spread your gospel, Lord. Do a mighty work in our midst and in each of us today. And would we leave here more in awe of you? We love you. But we love you only and always because you first loved us. In your precious and in your powerful name.